Good morning.
Pastor said I had 30 minutes. So I got my watch off. I'm going to set it up here. Do you know what it means when Pastor Ronnie takes his watch off and sets it up here? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And we don't mind, brother. That's not a cut. There was a pastor one time, he was preaching. And he would preach and preach, and he'd stop every Sunday just about the same time. And one of the younger pastors there in the church asked him, said, "Well, how do you do that? You preach every Sunday." And he said, "And it's about the same amount of time." He said, "It's just amazing. What do you do?" And the elder pastor said, "Well," he said, "before I start," he said, "I put a lifesaver in my mouth." And he says, "Whenever that thing melts down," he said, "I know it's time to quit." That guy said, "Well, hey, that's pretty good." He said, "I think I'm going to try that." So he got up there the next Sunday. He was preaching away, and he preached for an hour and a half. He said, "What in the world?" He finally just he stopped. He had to quit. And he took that lifesaver out of his mouth and looked at it. It was a button. I got one more. I prayed about this. I love these pastor jokes. Pastor got up one Sunday. He spoke. He preached. He ran it and shouted and just had a wonderful time. Carried on. And after about an hour and 15, 20 minutes, he finally just stopped. And after church was over, the guy asked him, said, "Pastor," said, "what in the world happened? You preached an awful long time this morning." He said, "Well," he said, "I didn't know it, but when I got up this morning," he said, "I put my wife's dentures in." Well, so much for ever getting in the pulpit again. You like that one, Melissa? I thank the church for having me up here this morning, for allowing me to preach about the Gideons and teach about the Gideons. First, I want to give you an update on Nita, tell you how she's doing, what's going on there. We're in rehab. Nita's got her left hip. It's out, and they're not going to put it back in until they make sure that she's got rid of all the sepsis, all the blood poison that she's got. She's got to get cured of that. And after they get her hip replaced, then she's going to have to get used to that and get where she can rehab and get moving around pretty good. Then they're going to fit her with a foot where she's had her foot amputated. It's kind of a bad situation for her. She's got her left hip out and no right foot. So there's not much moving around. They have the rehab people, they come in once a day and they work her around and get her in a wheelchair. And she goes to rehab, and it's a real ordeal for her to get in the chair. And then they require that she sit in it for exercise so many hours a day. Then she gets back into bed, they have to help her. Nobody's allowed to move her but the two rehab people. Well, last week, when they sent us to Duke, we had to go to Duke for a checkup, and I rode with the truck down there, my wife there, and we got to the doctor's office, and the doctor came in and said, "You need to put her up on the table." And I said, "Well, put her on the table." I said, "She doesn't have a left hip. She doesn't have a right foot." I said, "I've never done this." I said, "What am I going to do?" He said, "I don't know, but she's got to be on the table." He turned around and walked out. I said, Lord. So I said, I tried to look back and see what the rehab workers were doing. I said, "Well," I took her partial leg there and her other leg, and I took it from the wheelchair. I took the wheelchair arm off, and I lowered the bed down and put her feet up on it. Then I walked around the wheelchair, and I took the headrest part, set it down, and I grabbed her up under her arms like this, and I scooted her over there. It was beautiful. I couldn't believe it. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." When he got done, I had to put her back in the chair. So that was an experience, and they still say at the rehab place they don't want me moving her. I said, "Well, I've already moved her. I done broke the rules." But anyway, we attended that, and what they did while we were there, she had 51 stitches taken out. She had stitches where they amputated her leg right below the knee. They took the stitches out from her hip over here on the side where they took her hip out, and she had stitches in this knee over here where they did a knee replacement. So she was glad to get all that out of her, and the drain tube that she had, they took it out. So The only thing that we can do now is sit and wait. They won't put the hip back in until the infection clears up, and she's taking antibiotics every day. When they get her, finally, a doctor will tell us that she's cleared, and they put her hip back in. Then she's going to have to rehab, get used to that, and then she's going to have a foot. She's taking it really well. She has surprised me, because, Lord, even though this hardship is on us, and I don't understand it, and she don't understand it. She's been at it for about, July will be 2 years. She's had 3 arm surgeries, 2 knee replacements. The knee's been opened up and cleaned out 3 times. She's had a foot amputated, and she's still got a good, sweet spirit about her. She's like I am. She don't know what's going on. We don't know why we're going through this, but we do know this. God is in charge. And it doesn't matter what happened. God is going to allow to happen whatever's best for Nita and myself. Whether it's good, bad, indifferent, whatever we think, it doesn't matter. And I would want to make sure you understand that God knows what He's doing. He's using this. I believe right now, Nita and I in our relationship, probably the best and sweetest it's ever been. Amen. We've been married 45 years. And I tell Nita every once in a while, I say, you a keeper. I'm going to keep you. She said, I don't know what for. She said, I can't do anything. I said, don't worry about it. You a keeper. I told her one day, I said, we're a team, Nita. I said, but it's my team. That didn't go over too well either. Anyway, as soon as she gets back and the Lord dealing with us and whatever we have to go through with, hopefully one day she'll get back walking around and get back to normal. I'm looking forward to that day. I miss her at home, miss her pet. And I come home every night, but I'm up there every day. And I spend my times with her. And the Lord blessed me with a good wife, real good wife. She's been with me all these years. I wouldn't let her down now for all the tea in China. It's a good woman. All righty. I don't have any more jokes. After that last one, y'all probably don't want to hear anymore. Let me tell you about the Gideons. That's what we're going to be doing here for next at least a little bit of time. I love being a Gideon. I love doing the Gideon's work. It excites me. And you know, it's like what the choir sang this morning. People need the Lord. Amen. You would not believe the number of people when you get out working with the Gideons that are lost, unsaved, never been to church, don't know what a Bible is. The world's full. And the fields are ripe for harvest. And the Gideons, they do get out and help out all we can. I have several testimonies I'm going to give during this presentation. And I'll be switching from some numbers and everything. Kind of boring, but when you leave here today, you can say we know about the Gideons. I'm gonna give you a whole plate full. This testimony here is about a guy named Britt. Britt, him and his wife and children attended a church, at Brownsville Baptist Church in Texas. And that's a true story, true testimony. They grew up in that church, them and their families, and they worshiped the Lord, and they got away from that. Brett lost his job, had money problems. I don't know if you ever noticed or not, but whenever you have money problems, you have every problem in the world come in on you, some way, somehow. But anyway, they was having financial problems. Brett, he got away from the Lord, him and his wife. He started drinking. Things went downhill. He got very abusive toward his family, his children, and it was like that for years. And finally, he run across a Bible, a little testament that he had received earlier, and he sat down and was reading that. The Lord dealt with him, and he realized that he was a sinner and doing wrong, and the Lord dealt with him, and he went to his wife and his family and told him that he had read the Gideon Bible, that he'd made some serious mistakes, and the Lord had dealing with him, and his family prayed with him. And they said they prayed for about 2 or 3 months, hard and heavy, and said God resurrected that marriage, and it all because of the Gideon Bible. that during that time of raising his family up, one of his son, his name was Jonathan, said how he committed a crime. He was put in prison for it, spent some time. From the age 16 to 21, he was wild. You couldn't do anything with him. Blamed it on his parents, bad family life. That happens. He tried to get back into the workforce when he got out of prison and couldn't. He couldn't hold down a job, and things were bad for him, nothing going right. And he said one day, he said, "I'm going to kill my parents." He said, "I'm just going to kill them. It's just a miserable situation. I'm going to kill them." And he said, "Then I'm going to kill myself." Then he happened to run into the Gideon Bible that his father had. And he sat down and read it. And the Lord dealt with him. And he went to his family and told them what was going on in his life. He said, "I was going to kill y'all." And he said, "I was going to kill myself." But he said, "I've read the Bible. The Lord's dealing with me." And they took it from there. All because one Gideon Bible that was read twice. Two different people. God used it. The pastor said last week, I don't know if y'all remember or not, but the pastor said last week, there's power in the Word. Do you remember? And there is. There's power in the Word. You can take a Bible, and you might think I'm kidding or not, don't know what I'm talking about, but you can take the Bible and set it down somewhere. It'll work. It'll attract people. We have several kinds of Bibles. Here we have a Bible here that we place in the hotels. They're $5 a piece. And they come in different colors. And then we have this here Bible here that can be used for a prison ministry. And this one is earmarked for prison ministry, hospital ministry. It's covered with plastic, so it'd be sanitary. And then we have a custom Bibles that we use to personally witness with. I have one with me at all times. I keep one in the car. I used my Bible yesterday. Guy come out, and I'd went in the store and got some windshield wipers, and the guy there said, "Well, we're giving away free windshield wiper fluid." He come out to put the wipers on for me. I said, "All right." Gave me that free wash to put in my car. He had an arm amputated, and he was putting the wipers on. And the Lord spoke with me, and I grabbed the Gideon Bible. I said, "You gave me something." I said, "Now I'm going to give you something." And I turned back at the book of our Gideon Bible, and I showed him there. I said, "It has a plan of salvation right on the back." I said, went through it, said, "God loves you." Went through all our sinners, read the scriptures. All may be saved now. And I said, "I'm not going to put you on the spot." I said, "If you're saved," I said, "that's great." I said, "But in the front of the Bible," I said, "you can go there and get helps for any problems you might have, whether it's greed, pride, anger, hurt, pain." I said, "It's got them listed there." I said, "You can use that Bible and find help." So he was so appreciative. Our scripture readings that I want to read behind this testimony here, it says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act." And that comes from Psalms 37, verse 5. I have a CD, DVD I want to play now. Could you start that for us? It's about 3 minutes long.
I got involved with drugs, alcohol, prostitution. I was just trying to find something to fill the void that was in my life. I thought maybe if I had more things or had more drugs, or maybe that would be the solution, but it wasn't. It was a park similar to this right here, occupied by homeless. And I remember that Saturday morning, I had got up early, took a couple of hits of acid, tooted some coke, And I went for a walk in that county park in Battle Creek, Michigan. Here I was, a reject from the military. My third wife done walked out on me. And I just felt there's nothing else left but to commit suicide. But then there were some men in the park that day. They was witnessing to the homeless, and they were giving them these little testaments. And one of them came up to me. He had a big smile on his face. And he said, "Do you know Jesus?" And that young man, he took that little testament and he opened it and he showed me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And I personalized that. "For God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he gave his only begotten son." Then he opened it to the book of Romans and he showed me how I can pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. It was that day I prayed. I asked Jesus to forgive me. I asked him to come into my heart, clean up my life, and to make me somebody. And the Lord heard that prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer. And I want you to know I was instantly healed from my dependency of drugs. And the rehab centers didn't do it, but when I asked Jesus to come into my life was cleaned up, and I was clear-headed of the drugs. And you know, for the first time, that void that I had been carrying around all of my life, all of a sudden I felt like a new person. I felt whole, I felt complete.
There's people walking around today that's got a void, and you probably can see them, family members maybe. They're buying up everything they can buy. Boots, golf clubs, anything to keep them occupied. And the only thing that they're looking for and don't even know it is Jesus. Ascidians, we are men of the book. We are men of faith. We are men of prayer. We are men of separate walks. We are men of compassionate heart. We are men who witness, and we are men who give. We are also a body of men who share the word. I'll tell you a little bit about how the Gideons got started. Way back years ago, 1898, two men in Montana were placed in the same hotel room together for the night, and when they got ready for their prayer time, bedtime devotion, they found out each other where they stood with God, and they prayed there, and they come up with the ideal. And I do believe this ideal, I say they come up with it, but I do believe this is the Holy Spirit working in their lives. I don't think they get credit for it. But the Holy Spirit led them to start the Gideons International. Today we have taken more than 2 billion scriptures around the world. The scriptures that we distribute are in 107 different languages. We're in 200 countries, territories, and possessions across the world. We don't have to worry about sending missionaries because we have Gideon camps everywhere, all over the world. And people that are Gideons in those countries, they're doing the work there just like we're doing the work here, trying to share the word so that others may know Jesus. Scripture says in Galatians 6, verse 9, "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And we need to remember this scripture here is whether you're a Gideon or whether you're just a church member. I know salvation is a free gift. We don't have to do anything for it. Just accept Jesus. But now, after we get saved, it's a different story. God can call on you. just like he did Noah, just like he did Job, just like he did Abraham. And you can fight against the system of God if you want to. But if God's called you, he's give you reason, a purpose in life, you need to answer that call. You can run like they did with Noah, Job in the well. He ran the opposite way. But he finally gave in. And that's what we need to do. So here's some dates that I want to give you. I've got about two pages of them, but I'm going to give them to you kind of quickly. It's like I said, you want to know about the Gideons when I leave. In 1898, John H. Nicholson and Samuel E. Hill prayed over a vision that was later called the Gideons International. In 1900, the first USA camp was started. In 1903, the headquarters was in Chicago, Illinois. They didn't even own the building. In 1908, Bible placement begins with 25 Bibles placed in the Superior Hotel in Montana. Now, you have Bible placements and you have Bible distributions. As Gideons, if we're doing a placement, we're going through a hotel, motel, whatever, putting Bibles in the room. That's a placement. But when we have a distribution is when we meet and we just hand Bibles out and try to witness at the different places. In 1911, organized in Canada as the first national association outside the USA. In 1916, began placing Bibles in hospitals and hotels. In 1925, the first auxiliary started, with which constitution being adopted 3 years later. In 1934, the auxiliary began placing Bibles in women's homes, so-called women's home hospitals, the YWCA. 1941, started distributing to individuals and to military personnel and nurses. In 1944, they constructed a wholly owned headquarters in Chicago, Illinois, and they were there for 17 years. And in 1946, the Gideons began distributing New Testaments to students in grades 5 through the 12th. And here in Cumberland County, they have just about got us to where we can't go into a classroom where the students are in the fifth grade for about the past 2 years. We have to stand out on the street. We've been praying about this, and we want you to pray about it. We like for our children to be able to have their hands on these Bibles without having to meet in the street, and maybe one will pass you by and maybe not. In 1949, the first Gideon camp in Japan was organized at the request of General Douglas MacArthur. In 1950, the first Gideon camp organized in South Africa. They were extending out. In 1957, mass distribution of the New Testaments in jails and prisons started. 1957. In 1962, they moved to their new headquarters from Chicago, Illinois to Nashville, Tennessee, and that's where they are now. And in 1966, they started the Gideon Card Bible Program in Canada, and now is used in the USA, and I'll explain that in just a moment, what that's about. In 1972, Gideon started college distribution. We've done those at Federal Tech. We've done Methodist University. That's a lot of fun. 1978, they had the first extension action program called International Scripture Blitz. What that is where we just had one last weekend in Wilmington for 4 days. The Gideons, they would just all come in, and they have church services. Gideons have church services. Every church in town, they distribute the word. They have witnessing out on the streets everywhere, restaurants. It's Gideon doing the Lord's work. They're making plans now to have a blitz in Fayetteville in the year 2020. We're praying about that, and hopefully we can get things worked out. It'll be a wonderful thing. In 1980, the Gideons were in 124 countries, and the next decade went to 143 countries. In 1989, we were allowed to go into Russia with the Bible, the USSR. In 2008 was the 100th year of the Gideon's distribution. In 2010, 1.6 billion Bibles were passed out, and in 2015, 2 billion Bibles have been given out. That's the Lord working. The Lord has blessed us. I'll give you some numbers of camps. Camps, y'all probably think so. Camps, what in the world are they? They're atheist group or something. We have camps, what's called camp. Now, we have two in Cumberland County. We have an east camp and a west camp, and I belong in the west camp. And the county that we're in here, we belong to the Harnett County North. And I had to call them to get permission to come into this church because it's in their jurisdiction and we don't mix things up. So they gave me approval to meet here, and that's mighty kind of them. Some numbers. Our camp, we have 30 members, and we have auxiliary. We have 10 ladies. Now, the ladies, they more or less do the same thing that the men do, except they have some distributions they do in doctor offices, places like that, and they're doing an outstanding job, and they're very important to the Gideons. In our state, we have 160 camps, Gideon camps. There's 4,478 Gideons, and the auxiliary is 2,293 for a total of 6,771. That's in the state. Now, nationally, we have 201 countries, 107 languages that the Bible is in. We have 178,660 men, and the auxiliary is 101,618 for a total of 280,000 plus. You might think that's a large number, but when you start thinking about millions of people that's in the world, that's not very many. I know you've read in the Bible about Gideon. He was going to fight the war for God. And God told him, said, you got too many people. You need to cut them down. And when God got done dealing with Gideon, he had 300 men left. And the Lord said, now with these small numbers, what you will accomplish today, people will be able to see it was I, God, that did it, and not you. So we have to remember that as we're Gideons. Like I said, we're a small group. You don't hear much about us. We don't make a lot of noise. You'll hear about the Gideons today in this service, but you won't hear about the Gideons anymore until probably next year. Here's what we do in our West Camp. On Saturday mornings, every Saturday morning, we have a prayer breakfast at Mary Beals. And we pray. We read our Bibles. We have devotion. We allotted 30 minutes for that. We pray for churches. We pray for pastors. It's a good ministry. I enjoy going. We have a few that meet, 7 out of 30. It's the same way with the Gideons as it is in the church or in the school system or any other organization. You got 80% of the work being done by 20% of the people. But you can't let that stop you. You got to keep going. We have one monthly meeting, and that's on the second Tuesday. We have a cabinet meeting. That's where we go through our rules and regulations and decide what's best for the camp and what directions to go and what we need to do. And that's the last Saturday of each month. And we have a president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and a chaplain, just like any other organization. We have camp leaders. We have the Gideon Card Bible Program leader. That's the one I'm going to introduce you to in just a few minutes, a little bit. We have the scripture distribution leader, and that's what I do. Everything on the West Federal, I'm responsible for ordering the Bibles, getting them in place, getting them to hotels. I spend a lot of time going from hotels to different places, lining up work to be done. We pray with the managers. Sometimes I call them on the phone, just whatever the way the Lord leads me, but we set it up, and then we get together, and we do a distribution. That's what I do. I head that up. So if you're ever in a hotel and you go there, whatever, and you see a Gideon Bible, you can say, well, that's what Cleo does. He's helped do that. We have a faith fund leader, and faith fund is one of our funds that we keep to try to encourage our members to give so that we can buy Bibles. Our state goal this year for Bibles is $440,000. Last year it was $440,000. We were a little bit short. But $440,000 will buy about 366,000 Bibles. It's a big plus. We also receive income from speaking at churches, and we also receive income from our international who gets money and comes down, and we get money from our dues that we pay. We also have a prison ministry. Now, I know here in our church, every so often we'll have a prison ministry and we'll collect goods and for that. But I want y'all to know, we want you to continue to do that. But we have a prison ministry here in Fayetteville, and we're there every Saturday for about an hour, 45 minutes, somewhere about there, witnessing to two or three people. And just last week, Jack told us that he had three girls that were saved. They all accepted the Lord. It's just a blessing. And we have these meetings that we have. We're all the time saying, this was done, that was done, and we give God the glory for it. It's not Cleo. It's not the Gideons that's important. It's the Lord and what Lord's work is being done. Here's another testimony that I have. This one is entitled, A Heart Transformed by God's Word. This was written and sent in by Satabdai. That's in India. It says, I was born in an Orthodox Hindu family. Gideons visited my school and gave me a New Testament. I read it, and God's Word changed my heart. I realized I was a sinner and believed in the Lord Jesus. I wanted to share my joy with those who have no knowledge of God. So I asked God to show me His will. I studied to earn a master's degree in theology and began serving as a missionary. Did you hear that? Gideon worked, Bible, got a missionary. We thank the Lord for that. It says, I thank God for everything, and I'm grateful to the Gideons International, whom the Lord used to bring me to Himself. May the Lord bring many more to His love through His holy word. Scripture reading, do not neglect to do good and to share in what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And that's from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. We did a distribution 1 year at Methodist University, a year before last. And this is kind of cute. It's kind of funny. They train us not to get into arguments with people and not to be, you're representing the Lord. You got to do things just a certain way, and you got to wear a coat and tie. And, you got to wear that when you go distributing the word. But we were at Methodist University, and I was standing out there and had my Bibles, and all the Gideons out there, and we were passing out Bibles, telling them about salvation. This one guy come by, looked at us, shook his head. He walked on. We continued to give out Bibles, and after a while, after about 30, 45 minutes, I guess he must have had time to go to a class or something, he come back by, and he looked over there at us. He said, I don't want one. I never said a word. I just stood there. He left, and after a while, I guess he attended another class. He come by. He said, I'm not going to take one of those. I hadn't even said anything. I said, okay, and I continued. He come by for one more time. He says, give me one. Let me have one. He said, but I'm not going to read it. Now, you want to say that the Lord is not in that? I never said a word. Not a word. And the Lord was working with him. And I don't know to this day whether he got saved. But God knows. The Bible tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Here's another testimony from a guy called John Craner. He says, I left home at 16, and by 21 I was out of control. I shot into a car and was arrested. I had no hope, no friends, and no family. However, there in my jail cell, I saw a Gideon Place Bible. I had never read a Bible before. I learned about Jesus and His love. I prayed for the first time and was forever changed in one instant. I vowed to follow God and give my life to Him. It says, after my release, I became a pastor. Can you believe that? A pastor. It's the way the Lord works. It says, my life has been transformed from pain and suffering to joy and service to the King. Daily, I thank God for His unrelenting love in that jail cell as He spoke to me through His Word. Just leave the Word. The Lord is doing a wonderful thing. I'll tell you about a guy that I worked with. His name was Jim Tindall. Jim Tindall was a kind person. He didn't know the Lord, and we got to be friends with him, and come to find out, he had killed a man. He was trying to get into work, and had a picket line set up, and the guy was out in front of his car blocking him, and he hit the guy with the car and killed him. Spent time in jail. I don't know how he got hired on at Goodyear, but he did, and he talked with me ever so often, and he was probably the easiest person that I have ever witnessed to in my life. he would come to me, ask me questions about God, about things in the Bible. Can God save me? I've killed somebody. Just all this, and I talked with him, and just, you know, just I was just being friends. I weren't trying to win him to the Lord or anything. And he said, I probably can't get saved. I said, yeah, you can. I said, God can forgive you for what you've done. He said, well, how do I go about it? I said, Jim, I said, it's as easy as going home. I said, getting down on your knees beside your bed and say, Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And if you'll do that, Jesus, he'll save you. He said, that's too easy. He said, there ain't no way that can be. I said, that's the way it is. God doesn't make it hard for people. You might be here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior. It's not hard. Just say, Lord, come into my heart and save me. It's that simple. We kept talking as time went by. And one day he came into work. He said, Cleo, guess what? I said, what? He said, I did what you said. He said, I got down on my knees right beside the bed. He said, I asked the Lord to come into my life. He said, the Lord saved me. Oh, I was so happy. Oh, we had a hallelujah time right then and there. A soul won for Christ and witnessing helped that out. I learned that being a Gideon. Jim, he went on. He asked me, he said, well, I feel like there's something I'm supposed to be doing. He said, isn't there something else to this? I said, yeah. I said, you need to find yourself a church. And that's what us Gideons, we try to do. We don't try to steal church members. We have to be church members ourselves, and we have to be in good standings to be a Gideon. But Jim, he went to Stony Point Baptist Church. You may have heard of it, down Camden Road. He went there. He went there for a while, and he became a RA leader. Does anybody know what RA is? Royal Ambassadors. It's a program that the Baptists had for a long time, and the girls, their program was GA, Girls in Action. Anyway, he started working with the boys there, and he worked with them, and he was real good working with handicapped children. It was like he specialized in that. He did a wonderful work. Jim's not with us now. He's on. He went on to be with the Lord. But the Lord can change your life. Amen. If you let him. Amen. Our number one problem is we're in the way. God can't do his work because we're too busy doing what we want to do. I definitely, every day, believe a person ought to have quiet time. Amen. Prayer time. Amen. Need to be with the Lord each and every day. He's with us every day. Right. On Sundays, I told the preacher here a while back, our family is dedicated to coming to church. We don't have to every Sunday say, well, are we going to go to church today or what are we going to do? We've got somewhere to go and come to church at, if you got nothing else going on. At our house, we are going to church. I have, in the past 2 years, I have missed so much church, but I can't help it. I've got to be with my wife, and I think the Lord understands. But we don't get up on Sunday morning. It's no discussion. It's known ahead of time. We get ready Saturday night, prepare ourselves. I usually try to clean up the car so you don't get all dirty in it. We clean up, shave. Just a little. But we come to church. And my kids, when they were little, they said, Daddy, what are we going to church for? I said, we're going to church to tell the Lord thank you. So thank him for what he's done for you this week. And there's not a week that goes by but what God has done something for each and every one of us. He's helped us all out. And we should be a Christian that has a thankful heart. And we need to also have a world view. I love this church. And one thing that I like about this church is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I give money to that every year. I give money to the Gideons, but I want you to know what I give to the Gideons and what I give to the missionaries is after I give my tithe. Amen. The tithe gives it first. That's what the Bible teaches. Bring it to the storehouse. Amen. That's the first check written. The Lord will bless you for it. This next testimony is about a guy. His name is John Wold. He says, after distributing scriptures in 40 classrooms at the Low Lomboy National High School, the Gideons entered one more classroom. He says it was filled with 18 hearing-impaired students. John Wold, a Gideon from South Dakota, stood in front of the students and presented the plan of salvation while the teacher interpreted the message in sign language. The Holy Spirit was at work as well. After the message, John asked the students to pray along with him if they wished to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. He said at the conclusion of the prayer, he asked how many prayed alone. All 18 asked to be saved. All 18. Gideon out doing the Lord's work. He said as they left, he could read some of their lips, and they were trying to say, "Thank you, sir." They were just so grateful that they had heard God's word and that God had saved them. That's what the Gideon does. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Greatest verse in the Bible. That verse right there could sum up the whole Bible. It's what it's all about. We did a county fair. County fair, we do that every year. We set up a booth. We had to pay our fee, and we pass out Bibles, and we were passing out Bibles one year. John, my friend back there, we worked together a lot. We were passing out Bibles, and I gave one Bible. I asked this little girl, I said, "Would you like to have a Bible?" She was with her parents there. She says, "What's that?" I just couldn't believe it. You know, people don't know what the Bible is. And I don't guess I should have been surprised. They don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about the Bible. I said, "It's God's Word." I said, "It's God's Word to us." And I asked the parents, I said, "Is it okay if she has this Bible? Because, you know, it's a proper thing to do. She's underage probably." They said, "Sure, it'll be fine." And it was a privilege for me to give her one. Probably her very first Bible. Probably the very first. This just let me know. The Holy Spirit helped me to see that there's people out there that don't have Bibles. And it's hard to believe. Here in the United States of America, and don't have a Bible. But they're like that. They're out there. They don't have a Bible. They never grace the doors of a church. And they may not. But we need to be about the Lord's business. Another testimony that I have, it says Raul Gomez rode his bicycle around the city of Escobar, Argentina, looking for Gideons one afternoon. What would make him do such a thing? He was looking for the Gideons because years earlier they had given him a Bible, and he wanted his children to have one. And whenever they came to his school, the Gideons came to his children's school, the boy brought a Bible home, and he got on his bicycle, and he rode around in that town till he got up with the Gideons, wanted to get some more Bibles for his children. And the Gideon representative there asked him, had he received Jesus as his Savior? He said, I really don't know. So the Gideon opened the back of his Bible, walked him through the plan of salvation, told him about Jesus, and led him to the Lord. Just so simple. Jesus is willing to work if we're willing to get out there and do it, willing to support. We had one hotel distribution here probably about a month ago, and we asked the manager if we could have a word of prayer with all the staff, and then we were going to pray over the Bibles, then we'd pray for the hotel, pray for souls to be saved, and the manager said, "Sure, I'll get them together." So we gathered there in the lobby, big old group, held hands, and heard somebody hollering, "Hold on, hold on." And two men came that were maintenance workers, said they wanted to be in on that. It'll just bless your heart. People want to know about God if we're willing to tell them. The Gideon Card Bible Ministry, let me show you this. You've probably seen these. They're in the back of the church, but there's not a whole lot that people know about it. They see it, and that's about it. But I'm going to try to explain this the best I can. We put these in churches, and what it is, you've heard tell of a win-win situation. Well, with these cards right here, you have a win-win-win situation. These cards, if the person that is sending the card receives a blessing, the person that sends it and receives it gets a blessing, and then you buy a testament, you make a pledge, give to the Gideon's Card Bible Ministry, and give a Bible to someone just for thinking of you, in recognition, in sympathy. And I gave our pastor one time. I sent him one. I bought Bibles. I made a donation to the Gideon's. I think it was for $25, and that gave five Bibles that were sent to five different people in his honor, in appreciation for him being our pastor and for all that he does. So the people you send it to are blessed. We are blessed. And those that receive the word, they're blessed. So if you see these on the back, they're real simple. You just take one out. You fill out the card. You put your money in the envelope with the address on it. You send that to them. And then you put the card in another envelope and you mail it to the person. It's just that simple. It's not that hard. All that money that goes there, that's for Bibles. We can buy these Bibles here. They're about $1.20 a piece. I order them by the case. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in the righteousness that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Bible, the Word of God, is a powerful, powerful thing. This lady here, she sent in her testimony. Her name is Catherine A. Richmond. She was from Virginia. Says, for 3 months, I attended to my husband, who was dying of cancer, in the hospital. I found a Gideon Place Bible on the dresser, and I began to read it while he slept. The Word of God spoke to my heart in this time of great need. I found comfort, faith, and salvation. She says, after reading the Gospel of John, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Amen. She says, then my husband accepted the Lord as his Savior through the 23rd Psalm. And we just studied that Psalm this morning in Sunday school, just 2 weeks prior to his death. Sometimes if we mess around long enough, we're going to miss somebody. I started out this presentation telling jokes, and I'm okay with that. But what we do for the Lord is serious business. It's very serious. Somebody could go be with the Lord and not know the Lord Jesus and wind up not in heaven. Psalms 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I asked the pastor if I could list the qualifications to be a Gideon. There's quite a lot of men here I know that would be good Gideons. I'm not going to mention any names, Ganesh. It says in order for us to be a Gideon, we have to be a businessman or a professional. No pastors. Pastors is the one that recommends people to be in the Gideons, but we're here to help the pastor. So we have no clergy. We're just all laymen and our wives. 8 simple qualifications. First one, we have to believe in the Bible as the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I'm reading these to you because I want you to stop and think about whether or not you're qualified. Maybe the Lord will speak to your heart that you can become a Gideon. Maybe the pastor will approach you. Maybe I'll approach you. Maybe you can approach us. These are important. Number two, we have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God. Amen. Third qualification, you have to receive him as your personal Savior. Every Gideon you see has accepted Jesus as their Savior. Every last one. Qualification number four, we have to endeavor to follow him in our daily lives. That's very important. Trying to work and do the Lord's work apart from God, You're not going to make it. Number five qualification is believe in the endless lake of fire for the unsaved. You say, well, my, that's a strange one. Well, we have to realize that's where people's going. This will inspire us to tell others about Jesus so that they won't go to hell. You can rest assured, everybody in my family and everybody in Nita's family knows what the Lord Jesus has done. We've told them. We've witnessed to them. Some of them have been saved. Some of them have been saved at early life. Our family members who got involved and doing stuff right now. I got a brother in Lumber Bridge. Oh, he blesses my heart to hear him pray. He'll touch your life. He's a deacon now at church there on Hope Mills, in Hope Mills. The Lord, he can use you. Sixth qualification, it has to accept the Bible standard of marriage being between one man and one woman. And same thing as our church. We have that belief. Number seven, we have to be members in good standings of an evangelical or Protestant church, congregation, or assembly. We just don't take anybody and just, it's all well thought of. And as a Gideon, you have to participate in the activities of the camp. I'm hoping that you'll think about these qualifications. We could use some Gideons, always can. But pray about it. If you think that God would like to use you, we sure would be glad to have you. Now, as a church family, you might say, well, what can I do to help? First thing that we ask that churches do is to pray for us. Lord knows we need it. It's hard out there sometimes. Secondly, you can give. It would be a big help. I would like to thank the pastor for allowing me to speak this morning, for bringing you this information on our ministry. I ask that you pray for us daily. We pray for our pastor, our churches, and we just thank you for it. One more thing I would like to say about Nita myself. I want y'all to know from the bottom of my heart that I appreciate everything y'all have done for us. Stacks of cards, flowers, food, gift cards. We got from the church family, we were in Duke, a basket. I'm not lying, it was this big around, this high, and there was food filled in it up to this high. And I want y'all to know, we appreciate that so much. Our pastor, that's a long walk from the parking deck into the church. He carried it every bit of the way. He was breathing when he got there. He said, this is from us. He said, we love y'all. But I want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers, your concerns, your thoughts. Nita's had a time, and I think your prayers is probably one of the things that's helping us make it. One thing that I always tried to teach when I'm in Sunday school is that none of us knows what tomorrow's going to bring. Not a one. You don't know whether it's going to be good or it's going to be bad. You need to stick close to the Lord, if you don't mind me saying that. And now I'm in a situation where I'm having to live what I was teaching. And I want y'all to know I'm trying to stick to the Lord just as close as I can, me and my wife. We have prayer. We pray for this church. We pray for our pastor. And y'all mean so much to us. You'll never understand. The men here at the church, the doctor in the, excuse me, I'm back up a little bit, Duke told me, he said, you might as well get you a ramp. He said, you're going to need a ramp at your house. And, you know, I had plans in my head how I was going to build this ramp. Boy, I had it all laid out. And I just mentioned it to the pastor, Justin, you know, saying, you know, how Nita was doing and how she's coming along and what I needed to do. And whenever I said, the pastor told me I needed to build a ramp. He said, we'll take care of that. I said, what? He said, the church, we'll take care of that. He said, you just take care of your wife. Oh, that had blessed me immensely. I about come to tears. The Lord will bless you that way. One other thing, my daughter, where she works, she's got a boss man. I think he's a Christian, but I don't think he goes to church. But he'll show love. He told me, he came up to see Nita and said, I want to do this for y'all. He says, I want to go into y'all's house. He said, open those doors, and they're 32 inch to 36. He said, I want to take the tub out. He said, I want to put in the handicap shower with the railings, the seat in it. He said, I want to move the commode that's right there over to here, which means they got to go under the house, move the pipes. When he widens the door, he's got to have an electrician to go in there, redo the wiring and move over the light switches, all that. And he said, being we got to move the commode, he said, he's going to leave a hole. He said, we're going to have to tear the flooring out. He said, we'll take care of that. And he said, while we're at it, we'll go ahead and take care of the ceiling. He said, we're going to take this big sink out. He said, I want to do that. And he's talking about putting it in the other bathroom where they got a smaller one. He says, we're going to buy a pedestal and put in there so there'd be more room. And he said he wanted to get us an elongated handicap commode. I don't know how well y'all know building materials and people that does work. It's expensive. And you don't think you building a ramp and her place of business, fixing a bathroom, is not important? It is. And it's just so thankful to be. I'm so glad to be a Christian. Y'all have showed love to me and my family, and I want you to know from the bottom of my hearts again, I do appreciate it. Pastor, I thank you again for allowing me to speak. So I turn it back over to you.